This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Tig.
Yeah. Have we talked about that? Our horn?
Yeah. No, we have.
Oh, we have talked about having your horn versus my horn?
In what regard?
I don't know. But let's do it right now. Okay.
So, if you're listening out there and you like one or the other, you can write us. Let us know.
Vote for your favorite horn noise. As you can tell, this is an episode.
It's very important and serious, and you're going to learn a lot.
Did we get into a lot of stuff?
We got into some stuff.
Yeah.
About street art.
Mm-hmm.
About Disneyland security.
Oh, man, tough stuff.
Tightness.
Yeah, watch it. When you were at Disneyland,
mm-hmm.
behave yourself.
All right, shall we just get right into it?
We should.
Ladies and jerks, welcome to Exit Through the Gift Shop.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Okay. Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I quarantined after New Orleans, and then I'm back home with my family. Are you still quarantining?
I haven't started, but I'm about to.
Okay.
I'm just sitting in my closet right now, but I'm going to move out of my house on Sunday.
To film something.
Something that I can't tell you yet because they haven't announced it. But they've got a... announce it soon, I think, because we're going to start shooting it. But it's very exciting.
Do I know? Did you tell me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You thought it was so exciting, you forgot.
Oh, I remember what it is. I remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's exciting.
Yes, it is very exciting.
And it's something different. It's going to be a different character for me.
Oh, are you going to put like rotten
a mustache
teeth?
On.
Yeah, mustache, rotten teeth, and the wig.
I've gained 20 pounds for the role.
No, I know. I can see.
Oh, how dare you?
What? I was going to say, what have you been eating? But then it's like, what haven't you been eating?
Haven't you been? Good night, everybody.
Oh, where are you going? Are you tired?
Tig, I think we should get started on this. We're just like, I mean, people... have tuned in. Do people tune in?
Yes, on AM radio.
They have their rabbit ears out in the tin foil, and they're trying to connect it.
Uh-huh.
You want me to tell you what we're talking about today?
I already know.
Well, I'll tell the people.
Okay.
Today, you guys, we are talking about Exit Through the Gift Shop, which is a 2010 British documentary directed by the street artist known as Banksy. It features the story of filmmaker and artist Terry Guetta, also known as Mr. Brainwash, as Terry chronicles the emerging street art movement of the mid-2000s. Exit Through the Gift Shop premiered at Sundance and was nominated for an Oscar for Best Documentary. It's available to watch for free on YouTube.
Okay, I have something very, very embarrassing to admit to you right out of the gate.
Yeah.
I don't think I caught that Banksy directed this.
Oh my God, I was just thinking the same thing. I tuned in.
How did I not know
that until this moment?
Right, until you read it. Here's the thing is I've heard about this documentary forever, and so many people are like, this is my favorite documentary. I love this documentary.
Right.
You have to see. Right. And I knew Banksy had something to do with it.
Right.
But I thought it was about him.
I didn't realize he directed it.
Did you think?
Well, I guess in the film, at some point, he does say,
I directed this film.
Yeah. Well, he said, if that guy can do it, I decided I can probably do it. I don't know anything about making a film. But I was thinking maybe he was like a producer and just helped somebody put it together. But this makes more sense.
It does. But I have to say, all these years, I thought this was a documentary about Banksy. Like that not that we were going to see what his face looked like, even though I have Googled. And there's a couple of pictures, which is a funny thing, because if you don't know what Banksy looks like, then how do you know you're looking at a picture of Banksy?
Right. How do you know it's not somebody's uncle? That's just like, here, put this hoodie on and I'm going to take a picture.
I have to say, I was watching this movie with this feeling of waiting for it to get to the Banksy story. And I was like, can we move past this lunatic?
Well, we need to tell people.
Okay.
Let's just tell people what it's. Yeah. So this documentary is mostly about this guy, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way you pronounce it, it's slightly confusing because it's spelled T-H-I-E-R-R-Y.
Well, he's French.
So it seems like it would be Thierry. But anyway, it's Terry. Don't you think that's how they say it? Terry?
You know, I have to be honest.
Please,
Terry doesn't seem very French to me, that name.
No.
It feels like, hey, Terry, you know, like.
Feel like.
Yeah. Like, just.
Like Texas.
Yeah. Come here,
hey,
Terry. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Terry. Hey.
Hey, Terry.
So this documentary, it's really about this guy, Terry, who he loves. Once again, we've encountered somebody who loves taking videos and footage. Mm-hmm. He loves footage of everything. And you find out that, was it his mom who died? And he...
Yes, yes, his mother died. He was playing at school. And that was a weird moment where he said somebody came up to the fence and
said,
your mom died. And like he left like, and then
made
left.
Made fun of him.
And he didn't know his mother was dead yet.
Yeah, that was a weird moment.
And like, how did this kid or person
know that Terry's mom had died, and why would that be a funny joke?
It's not.
Let the record show it's not.
Yeah.
So because he lost his mom and he felt like, oh, life is short and precious, and how do we know when the last moment is that we're going to see this person? So he started videotaping everything. He got married. He had kids. He's videotaping. And then he was living in L.A. He owned a trendy vintage clothing shop.
Uh-huh.
They never said it, did they?
The clothing?
They never said the name of it. Yeah, did they?
I wasn't listening for it. I wasn't like, oh, girl, hold on. Shh. What is the name of this? Yeah, I thought it was like he was just in a warehouse with old T-shirts.
No, because remember he said that he would get, you know, a pair of pants that he found for $20, and then he'd sell them for $400 and tell people they were really special. And people were like, great, we love them. We'll pay $400.
No, I heard that, but I thought I saw him crouched down in a warehouse digging through T-shirts. And also, why is everyone believing this guy, Terry, who doesn't look trustworthy?
My God. Just so you know, Terry has like, what was it, like a handlebar mustache?
Like those chops, those big chops.
like it's sort of a porn look from the 70s. So Terry took a trip to France with his cousin.
Yeah.
Who was creating Space Invader graffiti. Uh-huh. So this is 1999. And so it was cool. He was doing these tiles, these mosaics.
That look like, yeah, the little Space Invaders. And like gluing them to walls and...
Yeah.
Bridges
and Terry
tunnels
was
tunnels and
video
benches.
Videotaping this. And Terry just became very passionate about it. Uh-huh. He thought it was the coolest thing. And then he goes back to LA and was like, wow, really interested in street art.
Yeah.
In street art. And I don't know, from there, could you ever get a feel for Terry's line of work? I guess it was just the vintage markup.
Yeah. And would you buy something for $400 just because some man that looks like Ron Jeremy said these are very special jeans?
I like to think I wouldn't. But, you know, people with accents, people love people with accents because it feels like, oh, they must know something I don't know. Is that how you feel?
No.
Like European accents, you feel like, oh, they must know like what's happening in France or Italy.
I mean, I'm
and
sure
that's
they
exciting.
Know if they live there. I'm sure they know what's happening there to some degree, but I don't like put them above me or people around me because they
have an accent and have lived in a different circle. Than
clearly, you do.
I'm just saying.
Are you? Very taken by people with accents or like mm-hmm. men, like if you were
because it seems like it's romantic, isn't it? It's like, whoa,
I don't know,
where are you from and what have you seen with your eyeballs?
The Eiffel Tower. I'm about to do a movie where I think I have to do a French accent.
Are you serious?
Yes, girl, yes.
How are you going to do that?
Why do you have no faith?
I really don't. I can't even imagine
hear
you doing Eiffel Tower.
Wait, aside from that... Say, how are you going to,
I'm better at Italian.
Oh, let's hear that.
Well, I don't know if I can switch over because now my mind's in
here, maybe this will help. Meatball.
Okay. How do you say, meatball? Let's hear your French.
Oui, oui, no, Eiffel Tower, oui, oui, je m'appelle.
Whatever you're shooting, it's about the Eiffel Tower.
I hope it's about, yes, yes, the Eiffel Tower.
What is your name? Eiffel Tower?
Je m'appelle
Tig.
Je m'appelle Tig. Yes, no?
Tig.
Oui, Eiffel Tower.
So listen, so back to Terry. So Terry and...
Terry? Paris. Oh, I go to Paris.
Yes.
Oui,
nice.
Oui, Terry. Oh.
Wow. You're going to be a very enthusiastic French
I don't know what
person.
To do. I got this job without...
hearing it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's what I'm saying.
That is on them.
That is on them.
Because do you, like, go through line by line and... here's what I would think you would do.
Okay.
You would find a French person to record your lines.
Okay. Oh.
But preferably an actor.
I would have you. Yeah, I'll have you.
I will be happy to record your lines to tell you how to... Oh, I know a French person very, very well.
Very, very well. You sounded like... what is it?
Yeah.
What is it? Like Steve Martin.
Yeah.
A wild and a crazy guy.
Because they were, and by the way, they were from a different country.
You know what? Let's give our listeners a break and then we will come back.
And talk about the film.
Yeah, so we talk about the film, cinema.
Banksy.
Au revoir.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So, shall we talk about street art?
We have to get back into the show.
Well, yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome back.
Let's talk about the penguins.
That was last time. So, just for you guys to know this, if you haven't seen the film, this guy Banksy was a very famous street artist.
Still is.
Yeah, still is.
Yeah.
And he...
Guy's alive.
Part of his mystery and mystique is that you never see his face. So even in this documentary, you see him, you hear him, but his voice is distorted and his face is shadowed out. Or he's wearing a black mask over his head.
It's shadowed out, and it makes even more sense now that he directed it, because it's like, who is he gonna let film him face? It's like, of course he directed it. But I mean, he let
him. Terry, all right, you want to hear Banksy talk about Terry?
Yes, but no. Like, I hate when they do those sound effects over voices. I hate
it's hard to even understand what he's saying, because he has it so All right, this is Banksy talking about Terry.
I guess Terry was in the right place at the right time, really. I mean, the thing is that most normal art is built to last like hundreds of years. It's cast in bronze or it's oil on canvas, but street art has a short lifespan, so it needed documenting. You know, we all needed someone who knew how to use a camera.
Even though I can't see Banksy, I like how he moves his body.
Oh, I know. He's sexy.
Yeah. Oh.
Don't you think?
I mean, let's hold that to the end. But I like the way he moves. Even though you can only see him in the dark, I like the way he moves.
It's like a shadowy figure.
Yeah, but the way he like adjusts his body and uses his hands.
He's comfortable with the universe, it seems like.
Sure.
So Terry is madly in love with street art now. He comes back to LA and he meets up with Shepard Fairey, who would become famous for that Obama poster.
That says,
you know, the hope. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Shepard Fairey, when he was coming on the scene, I don't know what people say, when he was coming up on the scene.
When he was coming up.
Here's the thing that I don't understand about street art.
Let me explain.
How are these people paying? How do they make a living? How are they paying their rent? If I said I'm a street artist and...
I wish you were.
And so at night, in the middle of the night, I'm going to go out to all these streets and I'm going to put up posters and artwork. But I'm not going to tell anybody it was me.
Okay.
Like, how do you pay your rent?
Well, I'm sure there's different things where some people have day jobs. Maybe some people are independently wealthy and they just go spray paint things. Are you artistic?
Not at all.
Okay.
Are you?
I mean, a little bit. I, you know, I'm...
Is there anything you can't do, Tig?
Not really.
Pretty good. I'm sort of good at everything now that I think about it.
No, my mother was an artist and my grandmother was an artist.
Oh.
And like really, really great artist.
Oh, so it's in your blood.
Yes, but when I say I'm kind of good, I think I identified as an artist because I was just around artists.
Yeah.
And I love to draw. But I think there's a lot of people that love to draw and think they're artists.
Yeah.
And they it takes them a long time to let go of that. It's like musicians.
Yeah. Singers.
Singer. A lot of people, you hold on to this thing. Maybe if I practiced and really, like, you know, worked at it in the way that my mother and my grandmother were, like, painters and they were just...
They studied their craft.
Yeah. They practiced and worked and... Then maybe I would be better, but I was ultimately just like a kid that was pretty good at drawing, and I just didn't put time and effort into it.
Okay, thanks for telling us.
Sure.
So he meets up, so Terry meets up with Shepherd Fairey and says, "I would like to start filming you. I'm going to follow you around. I'm going to follow you to the tops of these buildings. I'm going to I'm going to film you
everywhere you go.
Up your artwork everywhere you
go.
And not only that, Shepherd, but I will help you. If you need someone to hold the ladder, I'll hold the ladder. You can trust me."
Yep.
And so Shepherd did trust him and was like, "Okay, I guess this guy is trustworthy and he's helpful, and it's kind of cool that he's documenting all of this," because the great thing about Terry was, you know, these artists, when they put up their work, then they had to scatter. Mm-hmm. But Terry could stay behind and film people's reactions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the artists got to see that, which is, I would imagine, very satisfying.
Terry had so much footage that I have to say it gave me a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, stress.
I was like,
I was thinking the same thing. It's like, I mean, imagine having a warehouse full of unwatched video jibber jabber.
Like a ceiling fan or, you know, a water hose.
It could be anything. And so.
And he had no intention of doing, anything with it. He was just.
Ever.
Filming everything. But he said it came from losing his mother.
Right, right. But you would think that he would go back and watch it then. But listen, I'm not judging. Whatever he wants to do with it.
I feel like you're judging.
So the thing is that he...
You're judging.
Now Terry is so excited about the street art. And the one person he really wants to meet is Banksy.
Of course.
Where's Banksy? Banksy's in London.
I know you like accents, but what if the person had an accent and a voice like Banksy's in this movie? Would that be fine?
By the way, Banksy does have an accent.
I know he does. I'm saying...
Like in real life, if it was just like, "Hello, Gunga."
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be okay with it. That's what it feels like right now, especially with that body movement Banksy has. Are you kidding
Hello, me? Okay with the universe.
So Terry meets Banksy. Banksy and Terry's like, "I really want to film you."
Mm-hmm.
And Banksy said, it's not really what I do. I don't. Why do you want to film me?" "Oh, I'm making a documentary about street art."
I'm still surprised Banksy. Again.
Said yes, I know.
Not just said yes, but why did he trust this guy?
I don't know.
What is it with this man?
I don't know. He's like an oddball.
It's like you need somebody to house it for you. Okay.
Call
well,
Terry.
I just looked up this company online and, Ron Jeremy is here to house it.
With a hat on.
Yeah.
And a video camera.
Yeah.
I don't know, but.
Everyone trusted him.
Everybody trusted him. And Banksy, you know, took a liking to him.
Seems like it. I mean, he made a movie about him.
Well, yeah. So in this film, Banksy wants to do a real, what's the word? You know, when people are like upset about it and controversial.
Oh,
he
boy.
Wants to make, he wants to do, an installation at Disneyland.
You should have done that with like a French accent, like, oh, how do you say?
How do you say? Oh, how would you even say that?
I don't know.
With a French accent. Okay. So he wants to do a Guantanamo Bay piece at Disneyland.
Yeah.
So Banksy and Terry go to Disneyland. Banksy puts his, like a blow-up doll, in his backpack that he did, then blows it up.
At Disneyland.
Yeah, at like Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah.
And then walks away, and Terry is filming, and then Terry gets detained by the Disneyland
police. The Disney cops. Can you think of anything scarier? I love how he's detained. I mean, it's like legally they can detain you, the Disney cops?
It's a good question.
Thank you.
I mean, huh? I mean, I guess it's private property.
Okay, but you can detain somebody? That would be kidnapping. Is it a citizen's arrest?
It did seem like
Terry... What is a citizen's arrest?
Well, I don't know.
I've never understood
this. You see somebody breaking the law and you go up to them and go, hey, put your hands behind your back. I'm making a citizen's arrest.
Exactly. And what? This person is rebellious enough to break in somewhere and they're going to listen to...
There's another citizen.
Excuse me.
Hey,
and I love that.
I see what you're doing.
I love that everybody knows that they have to announce, I'm making a citizen's arrest.
I wonder how many citizens' arrests actually happen. Like,
successful.
Yeah, what do you do? Because what are you supposed to do? Have handcuffs?
How
do you
even arrest? How is it any different than, hey, come here? You know?
Right. Then, hey, come here. What you're doing is wrong,
sir. Stand right here with me, and I'm calling the police. Do not leave.
Move. Yeah. You are going to stay right here.
You are in the middle of a citizen's arrest.
You know what you did, and it was wrong.
Okay, now stay right here. I'm going to go inside and get my telephone.
I'm getting them on the line. You stay right there. Yeah, it's, I don't know how that works. But I'm interested. Maybe there's a documentary about citizens' arrest.
Or we could just look it up.
No, please.
Okay.
That is too ridiculous. Oh, no. All right, we need to take a quick break.
Okay. We need to give everyone a quick break.
And then we're going to tell you what happened with the drama and saga at Disneyland with Banksy and Terry.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Citizen's arrest.
Okay, hi. Welcome back.
Hi, girl.
So, long story short.
Here come the beans.
Terry outsmarted the Disneyland.
Everyone.
Security, it sounds like.
That's got to be hard to outsmart the Disney security.
I guess he put the video.
They never asked to watch the video,
footage.
Right?
Not until like 4 hours in or something. Right. This is what it seemed like. If I had my facts correct.
4 hours. Hey, folks, you're in trouble.
At first, when Terry was telling the story, I thought he was saying he deleted it. And then as I listened, it sounds like he said he put the little tape in his sock. Do you remember what happened?
Oh, yeah, yeah, he did.
Yeah. And so he didn't have the footage and they couldn't hold him for anything because he was like, I was just there and I was taking pictures of my friends.
And they couldn't hold him because they were the Mickey Mouse police.
Yeah, mostly because.
Because of that.
But by the way, I bet they're like no joke.
Why?
At Disney World? Because it's such a, things could go off track very quickly, I would think. Like if there was a suspicious character, I think. And I say character and it makes you think of Mickey Mouse, but I'm talking about people. But if there was somebody suspicious, I think the Disneyland police would be on them and get them to their underground holding spot before anything bad happened.
They'd whisk them away
on a tram.
On a tram. on Space Mountain. Or on, what is that, the Caribbean?
Oh, Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's it. Or on the teacups.
Oh, the teacups. Okay. So anyway, Banksy was impressed that Terry did not buckle. Mm-hmm. He took the rap. Mm-hmm. So Banksy was like, okay, this guy is, you know, there's something cool going on with this guy. And then Banksy does a show in LA called Barely Legal. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of, yeah, what were your thoughts on that?
Well, it sounds like child pornography.
Well, it does. It's a weird thing to call it. But and it wasn't, but it right. it ruffled a lot of feathers because there was a live elephant in the room.
Well,
Banksy wanted to say, let's talk about the elephant in the room.
No, I get
that
it.
Was you painted to match the wallpaper.
You think I didn't understand
that? I just wanted to let you know, in case you didn't get it. But even though the elephant matched the wallpaper, everyone still knew there was an elephant.
Well, and it's not very nice to paint an elephant.
Or make the elephant get into a little studio in Skid Row. Mm-mm. So at this point, Terry says, hey, why don't I just do this? I can make my own street art.
Right.
And Banksy was like, where is this film that you've been working on? Mm-hmm. I would like to see the film. So Terry puts the film together and Banksy was like, oh my God, that is an hour and a half of
terror. But it also felt like when I was seeing the clips, it felt like, of course, that's what.
Why did we think it was going to be anything other than like short clips of images set to music? And to his credit, Terry did say the way he cut the film together was he would close his eyes and put his hand into a big basket of videotapes, and whatever he pulled out, that's what was going to go in next.
Yeah. I mean,
well, we should hear Terry. We should hear Terry. So here's a little bit of Terry, just so you can get an idea of what he sounds like.
Okay, yes.
In the beginning, you like thinking like the guy's going to film me one time, two time, three time, five time, 10 time, 12 time.
12 time. But
after a while, he's like, what you going to do? Because usually people film a day, 2 days, 3 days, and they make something out of it. But I kept filming, so he's like, what you gonna do? And I said, I'm gonna make a street art documentary, you know?
Take two.
The question that you're asking is a good one. Why would talking to Terry make you feel like, oh, yeah, yeah, this guy knows what he's doing?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And what do you think it was? He's very, he's got a lot going on and he's a real busybody.
He's knowledgeable about
He's got a lot of ideas.
And passionate.
Very passionate.
I mean, passionate about something can get you pretty far.
Yeah.
And if you're vocal about it and you're enthusiastic about it, people appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Banksy is now like, what the fuckerballs is this guy been doing for years?
Yeah.
And why did he even film this?
Right.
And so he says to Terry, can I get the footage? Can I just get this footage? Uh-huh. And why don't you do your own art?
Yeah.
If you like it so much. So then Terry decides that he's going to come up because these other street artists like Shepard Fairey and like Banksy, a lot of times they have something to say, like about humanity, politics,
culture.
They're saying something. They have a message. So Terry says, okay, I'm going to call myself Mr. Brainwash.
I love how everybody has some weird name, but Shepard Fairey didn't, even though it's not like a completely normal name.
Yeah.
But
he didn't have a, yeah, he didn't. We know Banksy's name isn't, his first name isn't Banksy? Or his last name isn't Banksy?
We don't even know what the guy looks like.
We just know that he feels comfortable in the universe, the way he sits.
Yeah, the way he moves.
So Mr. Brainwash, he decides, I mean, it's pretty incredible too. He hires people. He takes out a loan against his house. Uh-huh. He goes to the CBS studios. He hires a staff. He hires, I mean, in LA, the best of the best here, right? So he hired these people that were...
We also have the worst of the worst.
Well, let's focus on the best of the best. And like great artists, like these guys who make props for films and said, hey, I want you to make a giant spray paint can.
Yeah.
And the guy did.
No problem.
And it looked beautiful and amazing and became Mr. Brainwash's sort of symbol. And he put tomato spray, like as a wink to Andy Warhol or just a
blatant ripoff of Andy Warhol.
Yeah. So there were a lot of, then a lot of like celebrity images that looked a lot like what Andy Warhol did. But
Shepard Fairey was doing. He did a lot of things that looked like Shepard Fairey.
Terry did a lot of things that
everybody
might have been a wink to Shepard Fairey and to Banksy.
And to everyone.
And
Pollock. There's a lot of Pollock in there.
Oh my God, he even did some Pollock. Yeah,
he pulled in the Pollock.
So you're watching this documentary and you're like, oh my God. His poor kids, his poor wife. He is like ruining his life and theirs. Mm-hmm. He's going into debt for this.
Yeah.
He's going to put on a show in LA. Who is going to possibly show up to watch this guy? Mm-hmm. And then Terry said to Shepard Fairey, hey, will you put this on your, you know, social media? And then also ask Banksy
for a quote. And Banksy is like, oh, what could it, sure, it could be, it's harmless. I'll give him a quote. I've never seen his work.
And the quote, what was the quote? Do we have the quote? Because the quote was hilarious. It was something like, I've never seen anything like Mr. Brainwash. Okay, here it is. So when Terry asked Banksy for a quote to what's the word? Advertise his show.
Promote.
Promote, that's the word. Hi. He said, Mr. Brainwash is a force of nature. He's a phenomenon. And I don't mean that in a good way. And that was enough to put Mr. Brainwash on the map.
Well, not just enough to put him on the map. The guy, Mr. Brainwash, went and blew this quote up to a billboard size and was hanging it around Los Angeles.
And then people were intrigued and were like, oh my God, he is resourceful. He's got big, I don't want to say balls because we're trying to make it through a podcast without talking about balls or penises or any sort of body parts. Anyway.
Any body parts?
Had we talked about body parts yet?
I don't know. I'm just saying, are we trying to avoid talking about any body parts, or do you just mean private?
Oh, just like salacious things. But we didn't make it.
But you didn't make it. Well, you didn't make it. You can't do it.
I can't do it. But Tig.
Yeah. I'm right here.
He has this show.
Yeah, no, I know.
People are lining up. They're lining up around the block.
Yeah, I saw it.
They had to turn people away. And he ends up selling over $1 million worth of his art.
Almost a million.
More than a million, according to my notes.
Okay, well, in the documentary, it said almost a million.
Well, you check your notes.
I don't have any.
It doesn't matter. Listen, 999,999.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's a whole point of this documentary was, like, who's the smart one here? Terry? Crazy
Terry. Well, it was really interesting to see, you know, at the end, to see Banksy and Shepard Fairey, everyone being like, you know, Banksy saying, I always encourage everyone to do art. I always say everyone should do art.
Yeah.
And now he's like, do I tell people not to do art? Right. But what I find interesting, though, is, and I see it in stand-up and everything else, you know, people don't care if you're good or bad, or you're copying somebody, or you're derivative in some way, unless there's money.
Mm.
That's when it becomes a problem.
Mm, that's interesting. You're right.
Yeah, because right. If this guy was just somewhere...
If he just tanked it.
And
yeah. Did not make any money on this. It would be like they're...
Or he was just running around town painting those things on a wall. It's
in the middle
like
of the night.
Once this guy... Because this guy is still successful. He has tens of millions of dollars. He did Madonna's album cover. I mean,
it's insane.
Yeah, and it's like...
It's crazy.
Yeah.
No, I know. There's an art installation that was in Beverly Hills. I don't know if it's still there, but... Life is beautiful, mm-hmm. like in neon lights, and it's cute.
Oh, you
Life
love this
is beautiful.
Guy.
It's a cute.
But it's really interesting, because what does that say about? Because you can see they're a bit deflated, you know, Shepard Fairey and Banksy.
I know.
And so then you can't help but wonder, like, about their message, because. There's a lot of messaging in their art about money and
right.
and
right.
And so this guy who is taking from and inspired by and derivative in such an egregious way is making bank. They're both like, well, yeah.
They're like, oh.
I don't know what to say about that.
It took me years to do that, and you did it in 6 months. Like, what am I doing?
I mean, it's the same thing. You see it in acting or stand-up.
Yeah.
Somebody has a set or...
like a script that they've been working on for 10 years, and somebody, oh, I just wrote it in 2 days.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then it's like the number one film. And yeah. I know. Well, art is also kind of strange to me.
Yes.
Because I just don't understand how some pieces are worth $10 million and then something that looks very, very similar is worth zero. You know what I mean? It's like, who decides on how much something's worth?
Cheryl, I do not know.
Dig, you've got to know more about the art world than I do. How does it happen? Like Andy Warhol, what? I mean, it's cheeky and fun and okay.
Innovative.
The tomato can. I don't know. I always thought, he's sort of commenting on Americana and this is what we've become. And we're perfectly happy with a can of tomato soup that sits on your shelf. Is that what you got from it? Is that, when you look at that art, what do you...
It's not really my style.
What's your style? I'm not saying it's my stuff.
No, it sounds like you love Andy Warhol stuff. I like Andy Warhol stuff. Yes. It's just not my...
That's not how you want to spend $10 million.
No, no.
$1 million?
No. Mm-mm. No. I enjoy Banksy's more.
Yeah, and Shepard Fairey's. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I would say more so Banksy than even Shepard Fairey, but I'm also not well versed enough to even
You're not. You're
talking
really not.
About anything. And we all know that. That's why we all tune in every week.
I mean, there's gotta be, I don't know, who decides?
I love my kids' artwork. I mean,
that's sweet.
I would love, and Stephanie's not into this idea, but I would love. Boy.
I don't like where this is headed.
I would love.
You're going to do an art show with your kids?
No, no.
Then you're going to charge $50,000.
I would love to wallpaper their room with their art, like to use their art as wallpaper. That's what I would like to do.
Cute. But then, like, I mean, listen, I don't want to be the negative Nelly. I'm just saying, from my experience in life, they're going to wake up and be like, okay, that's when I was 4 and I'm 5 now and gross, take it down because that's not who I am.
Well, that's maybe why Stephanie doesn't want to do it. And also, you don't need to be so rude to me about...
I'm just saying. Maybe start with a small space.
Okay, like the laundry room.
Yes! The laundry room. Yes, okay. Laundry room.
Okay.
And that's adorable.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know that Stephanie would let that happen.
Well,
maybe the garage.
Do an art show in the garage.
By myself. And try and sell it to Max and Finn.
By the way, when my daughter was like 6, she did some artwork.
Yeah.
She wanted to sell it.
Okay.
And we lived on a very busy street that people weren't walking by. Like you would have to pull in.
Uh-huh.
And we had a gate. So nobody's just breezing by.
Uh-huh.
But we set it up in the driveway behind the gate. We said it's an art sale. And then we called the neighbors and said, can you please come over and buy a piece of art? And they did. It was adorable.
How much?
I think it was like $5 maybe.
Oh, my gosh.
It was big. What it was big
those,
news.
What are those pieces worth now, do you suppose? Because that's a lot.
I hope they still have them. I hope they still have those pieces. But it was cute. But yeah, do an art show. That's adorable.
Yeah.
Or the wallpaper. I don't want to poo-poo your wallpaper.
What I do is I collect their art.
Yeah.
And they each have a box. Stephanie got them each a box.
Yes.
And their art goes into their boxes. And then I sort through it and I keep little special ones.
Yes.
And then I send the rest to my brother and my stepfather.
Aw, that's cute. It's really hard to know what you're supposed to do with your kids' artwork. Right. Yeah, and like even old photos.
I dated this girl and she said that she would bring home art that she did at school and give it to her mother, and her mother would say, oh, that's so nice. And then just throw it in the trash in front of...
in front of her?
In front of her. And she said, same with like greeting cards, like for her birthday. Her mother would just read it and her mother was just very like...
practical.
Yeah, I guess.
Just like, look, why save it? We know it's going to be
thrown
away.
Thank you for the happy birthday wishes and in the trash it goes. Dinner will be ready in 10 minutes.
I mean, I do get confused with, what are you supposed to do with Christmas cards?
I appreciate it when people email a Christmas card.
Oh, that's nice.
You know?
Because I never know when to throw it away. And
when to shred it.
What happens? What happens if your friend comes over? They're like, oh, my Christmas card is not up on your mantle?
I mean, we do that at Christmas. We put the cards up on the mantle. And
yeah,
stuff.
Same.
But then, like, December 26th. It's shredded.
See ya. So anyway, you know what's interesting about this?
What? Please tell me.
Banksy. Yeah. So the film that we just watched was a film that Banksy made with all the footage, and it was his story. And they say that after the documentary was released, some speculated that it was on some level a prank by Banksy.
What was a prank?
The whole film. And that Banksy got Terry to do the art show and he made money and it was all a mastermind of Banksy. Saying, see how ridiculous people are? Is that what you got?
Gosh, that would make more sense.
Deep. It's deep. Well, hey, Banksy, hey, if you're out there listening, and we know you are.
Call us in your sexy, weird voice.
And tell us what happened.
I had a lot of mixed feelings about this documentary.
Oh, I would like to hear them.
I just, you know, taking it for face value and not considering, which I didn't really consider it being a big Banksy pranksy. Hello. Uh-oh. Spit take.
I couldn't swallow it. I couldn't swallow it. I took a sip right when you said that.
You couldn't handle Banksy pranksy?
Mm-mm. It was so that is dumb yet clever.
Ridiculous. I would have just shook my head at you and swallowed the water.
I couldn't do it. I had to spit it back in my cup. Go ahead.
I'm just like, who cares about this guy?
Terry?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, but now look at the big picture.
If it's Banksy doing it?
Yeah, if it's Banksy saying, look, art is whatever you make it, whatever the hype is. Mm-hmm. That's how much it's worth. Mm-hmm. Just look at this.
Right. Then I like it. And I wish I was smarter.
You're going to watch it through that lens again. Listen, no. I wasn't thinking.
But I was face value. I was very much like.
You were like, okay, I get enough of Terry.
Yeah. I was like, I don't get why. It had to have been a Banksy pranksy.
Right. It had to have been like, doesn't Banksy strike you as a very smart person who,
yeah,
so for him to go through the trouble of making this documentary,
right,
must have been like,
this all makes sense finally
in this moment,
truly, because the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, why am I watching this?
I mean, it's almost like if you were a huge fashion designer, you were a clothing designer, and you said to your friend, watch this, I'm gonna make a t-shirt, I'm going to tell everybody this is the most amazing t-shirt. Somebody's going to buy this t-shirt for $200,000. And then you do it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, but it's still just a don't. So I don't know. That's how I see it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I bet you're right. And I hope you're right.
Anyway, Banksy, DM us.
Let us know what really is.
Are you ready for final thoughts?
Yep.
It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
No. Mm-mm. I like to think I'm emotionally stable.
Who were you attracted to? Although I think we should say it at the same time. I mean, there were very, it okay. was limited.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to say three, and then we'll say it at the same time, in case we both chose the same person. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three.
Madonna.
Shepherd Fairey. Oh, come
on. Shepherd Fairey?
Shepherd Fairey. No? He's so cute.
Well, yeah, but I thought you were into Banksy.
But well, I am.
I only said Madonna as a curveball because it felt like another way to bring her into our podcast.
If you had the choice, but between doing Madonna or
doing
Shepherd Fairey, having an intimate moment, you would pick Madonna.
Yes. But also there would just be something hilarious to be able to tell you.
Guess what I did Saturday night.
Guess what I did Tuesday night. Like if I ever have the chance, which I don't think so, for many different reasons, to be with Madonna. I want it to be on a Tuesday.
Oh, on a Tuesday.
I just, Madonna's too typically Saturday night kind of
right.
gal.
So you want to say, oh my God, you want to hear what happened
Tuesday
night? I want to
swing
night?
By Madonna's place on a Tuesday night. And she's.
Just see what happens.
She's like all snuggly on the couch and like.
I like that Madonna's like got a comforter over her.
A quilt.
And she's got a face mask on that's moisturizing her face.
Yeah, and she wasn't expecting me.
No, and then you just pop in and,
hey. Hey, girl. Hey, Madonna. But I would say Banksy.
But Banksy is, you know that show, Married, what is it called? Married at First Sight or something?
Married with Children.
That is such an up-to-date reference. Yes, Married with Children is what we're talking about.
Archie Bunker.
No, there's a show where people get married before they even see. Oh, Love is... The show is called Love is Blind.
Okay.
And you don't even get to see the person.
And why do you do that? Is there money or something?
I don't know. To be on TV? To be part of the social experiment.
To be on TV.
You don't get to see this person until you get married, until you're at the altar.
Would you do that?
No. I'd go on a blind date. Have you ever been on a blind date?
No.
I guess there are no blind dates anymore because everybody has social media, right?
I guess.
I went on a blind date. This is a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And the guy dressed up like, this was his normal outfit, was like a Miami Vice.
Don Johnson.
Yeah, like Don Johnson, like he had a t-shirt and a blazer with the sleeves rolled up and then matching pants.
Was it Don Johnson?
His name was Don Johnson. And then we went to see comedy, and I think you see where this is headed. It was not cute because we got picked on by every comedian.
When was this?
This was 1902. This was 2000 or something, 1999.
Wow. Oh, God. When was Miami Vice? Was that
no
in like
idea.
1985 or something?
That sounds right. There's no way we can know this.
There's no way.
We will ever know.
We'll never know.
Anyway. Oh, so this is the question. Mm-hmm. Would you risk it with Banksy, not knowing what he looks like or sounds like, only going by the way he sits in a chair?
Yeah.
And his mind, his artwork. Yeah. Or would you play it safe with Shepard Fairey? I guess this is a question to myself.
So which is it?
I'm going to go with Shepard.
Really? Oh, you love him.
I do. I do love him. Uh-huh. He's real cute.
Have you met him?
I have. Mm-hmm. I went to his birthday party. Anyway, I don't know why I was invited, a friend of a friend, but he was very sweet. And it was, as you would imagine, like in a big sort of warehouse. Mm-hmm. Not
Were you getting
fancy.
A vibe from him?
No, not at all. He's married. He's got a sweet
wife. I don't know when you were in at his birthday party.
Not that long ago.
Oh, okay.
But no, don't start rumors. Listen.
Rumor has it.
All right. Well, listen, that was Exit Through the Gift Shop. And we want to tell you that next week we'll be watching Murder on Middle Beach, which is available to watch on HBO Max. I'm excited about this one.
You love murders.
I love murder. Huh?
That's so
Also, terrible. You can buy True Story merch at podswag.com/truestory.
And let us know what new merch ideas that you have, because you guys seem to be really into the merch. And thanks for telling your friends to listen to the show, because once again, we're just as shocked as you are. Our numbers keep going up. And also, I have an animated special on HBO. I have a book called I'm Just a Person. I have series
going
on
through
Amazon.
All of your stuff?
One Mississippi. And I've started back at stand-up at Largo in Los Angeles. And I'll have a tour to announce at some point.
That's exciting. Yeah. I also have things to announce, Tig. The new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm is about to come out.
When?
October.
October what?
I have no idea. I'm sure there's a date. I don't know what it
is. Well, the new season of Star Trek Discovery is coming out in November. I think November 18th.
Okay.
So we both have TV shows.
We have stuff coming out. Should we read some true fan mail before we go?
Yeah.
Okay. Sea Mouse.
Yeah.
Sea Mouse emailed us to say, I listened to my favorite podcast while doing my daily Jillian Michaels Yoga Meltdown DVD. Oh, I didn't even know people still watch DVDs.
Well,
but I like it. I'm glad. Anyway, of course, Tig and Cheryl True Story tops that list. My downward dog caused the podcast to stop for the second time in a matter of minutes. So I shouted, "Hey Siri, play Hail Satan." Much to my surprise and horror, a gut-wrenching, growling cacophony erupted in my ear canals, shouting, 666, Hail Satan. I quickly shut off what I later discovered to be the lyrics for a song called Hail Satan, not your podcast about the documentary Hail Satan. It took some time Are you having a hard time following this?
Well, no, it sounds like they were trying to get our episode to play and death metal started.
Oh, that makes sense. It took some time for my chortling. What do you think it is?
There's no way of knowing.
To stop so I could tell my daughter why she had found her middle-aged mom snorting in a pool of sweat in a darkened living room. I'm still doubtful that she believes I was doing yoga instead of praising Satan. I mean, imagine some kid walks in and the mom is just like blaring.
And not only that, but yelling, play Hail Satan.
Just keeps yelling, Hail Satan.
The confusion on the child's face.
In a sweaty mess.
It's like the day I walked in on my mother reading a book called What on Earth Am I Doing Here? And I was like, how about being my mother?
Oh, somebody told me, and I don't know if this is a joke, and probably it is. There was a book called How to Tell Your Spouse That You're Gay. And that's the title of the book. And you just leave it on your nightstand. And there's nothing. The book is about nothing. It's only a title page.
Wait, is that real?
I don't know. No way of knowing.
Wait, who told you this? That's the funniest thing.
It's my friend named Paul, but I mean, we could look it up. And if it doesn't exist, we should do it immediately.
Now that is so funny. Those kinds of books, I'm endlessly amused thinking of people buying them. You know, if that book existed, or just the people like,
or something like How to Tell Your Spouse You Want a Divorce.
Yeah.
And it's on the nightstand.
Or just like standing in line at a bookstore before there was Amazon and stuff. Of like, how to make friends and not be such a loser. And like, you know, putting that book on the counter.
How to get it together and stop from looking crazy.
Or like, how to finally move on from the person you're obsessed with. And then you run into that person in line at the bookstore. And they're like, how are you? And you're like, yeah.
You've just got all the self-help books in your, It's not a good look, but you know, they can be very helpful.
Yeah.
I'm not breaking news here. We know this. That's why they
This is not a breaking news podcast.
You are not going to learn one new thing. Although, I do think that we did our listeners a favor about letting them know about penguin penises and the lack thereof.
Yes.
That was something that people did learn.
And it was a joyful moment when Thomas was frantically Googling
images
of penguin penises only to report back that oddly, there's not a single penguin penis.
We were so shocked. We were like, wow, there's not one picture.
Not one person has uploaded a picture.
In the world that has ever seen a penguin penis, not one. And then we realized, oh, yeah, because they don't have them.
They don't have them. They just snuggle.
Love makes the baby. And by the way, I still don't really understand it. But it's not, listen, we are talking about Exit Through the Gift Shop today. And we had a really nice, that was really nice. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheryl, thank you. Should we do it again?
Yes, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.